How valuable is a Harvard Business School education? Based on tuition alone, you'd expect it to be worth a pretty penny. And successful graduates say it is, but there are lessons they learned in the real world that the Harvard classroom never taught them. You can learn some of these lessons for yourself in the new book, Smart Startups: What Every Entrepreneur Needs to Know, Advice from 18 Harvard Business School Founders by Catalina Daniels and James Sherman. Catalina and James are both HBS graduates turned consultants, entrepreneurs, and angel investors. Here they are to share five key insights from their book.
I am Catalina Daniels.
And I'm Jim Sherman. We are entrepreneurs, angel investors, and the co-authors of Smart Startups, What Every Entrepreneur Needs to Know, Advice from 18 Harvard Business School Founders. Our book is a guidebook for entrepreneurs containing timeless pearls of wisdom for every stage of the startup journey. The insights in our book are based on interviews with 18 founders who all graduated from Harvard Business School and went on to create successful startups. They shared with us everything they wish they knew before they started up and which they did not learn in business school. We're going to share with you five of the key insights from our book.
Insight number one, there is no random light bulb or aha moment. Landing a good idea requires a deliberate, lengthy ideation process. There is this myth that as an entrepreneur, you wake up one day with a great idea, you go off, implement it, and become successful. For the HBS founders we interviewed, there was no light bulb moment. On the contrary, we were surprised to hear that all embarked on a lengthy ideation process over weeks and months to carefully develop and refine their ideas. They thoughtfully considered ideas, took in pieces of information as they gathered them, vetted the ideas, and ultimately shaped them until deciding whether the idea was something worth pursuing and investing in. About half of them took a deliberate, systematic approach. They wanted to launch a business, but had no specific idea to start with, and embarked on a process to evaluate a bunch of different ideas before choosing one. Josh Hicks from Playdit spent 6 months with his co-founder doing this before landing their idea for the meal kit delivery business. As he explained, it involves deep reflection, examining problems, looking for solutions, and it's not some linear or magical process. The other half of founders came up with an idea organically based on some experiences which they refined over time. They had an idea to start with, but needed to connect the dots to shape the idea over time. This process typically is longer than the deliberate process. The founder of RubiconMD, for example, took years to develop his idea for connecting primary care providers with doctors, specialists, basing himself on his experience with a sick grandmother, but also a field trip in India, and later an experience as a professional consultant. The key point is that all founders invested a lot of time in shaping and evaluating their ideas. None woke up one day with their business idea. It takes effort and iteration to get it right.
Insight number two. Great ideas have three things in common, which we call the ideation triangle. What makes a good startup idea? Three factors came up again and again, independently in our founder interviews: a large market opportunity, relevant founder skills, and a huge amount of passion for the opportunity. We call this the ideation triangle. Let's look at each factor. First, you need to identify a big opportunity. And that doesn't just mean there's a huge potential market out there. A large market is not the same as a large opportunity. More importantly, your business has to solve a real problem that people are dealing with. For example, in one of our interviews, Henry the Dentist founder Justin Yoffe explained that when he looked into the dental industry, he saw a massive $125 billion market, where many people, in fact 40% of people, with dental insurance weren't going to the dentist, mainly because people didn't want to take time off from their work. This showed him that there was a sizable opportunity to solve a problem with his mobile dental clinic. He decided to launch what would be a mobile clinic that could go to the suburbs and deliver dental services in office park settings. Like Justin, many other successful founders didn't totally reinvent the wheel, but made existing products and services better by improving things like convenience and cost. Second, as the founder, you really need to have the right skills to understand your customers and run that type of business. You don't necessarily need direct experience in the industry you're targeting. In fact, many of the founders told us that industry experience can make you less innovative. For example, Jenny Fleiss of Rent the Runway explained that coming from outside an industry allows you to approach things without preconceived notions. It can spark more creative thinking. In the case of Rent the Runway, Jenny and her co-founder, Jen, strongly believed that women would like to rent fashion clothing, particularly for special events. But the concept of renting clothing was entirely new. They reached out early on to the famous fashion designer, Diane von Furstenberg, for feedback. Diane's initial response was not enthusiastic, and she discouraged them. She believed fashion brands would be reluctant to make their clothes available via such a channel and doubted that women would wish to rent clothing. Other industry experts mentioned the same doubts, but Jen and Jenny persevered and kept to the concept. And by 2021, Rent the Runway had raised over $450 million, had more than 100,000 subscribers, and went public. After relevant skills, the third factor in the ideation triangle is passion. Founders absolutely have to have passion for the opportunity. Passion gives you the fuel to get through the tough times, to recruit people to your team, raise money from investors, and sell your product. In the interviews, founders emphasized that real passion often stems from wanting to make a positive impact on the world. For example, Alexandra Wilson of Gilt told us about the passion she and her co-founder had for understanding consumer needs and building an innovative fashion company that would excite them. In a nutshell, the ideation triangle is all about spotting a big opportunity, having the right skills, and truly caring passionately about what you're doing. If you can nail this ideation triangle, you're well on your way to launching a successful startup.
Insight number three, validate demand as cheap as you can. The moment your idea becomes a startup, your first objective should be to prove that the product or service can generate demand from customers. Once you've proven demand, you can start building out and investing in the rest of your business model. But your first goal is to prove product market fit, and you should focus on developing the product or service that allows you to prove the fit and nothing more. As the founder of Bespoke Post said, in the beginning, their only expenses were the product samples, and they just wanted to get 100 customers in the first months. That was it. Typically, entrepreneurs talk about a minimum viable product, or MVP. This is the minimum version of a product to test with customers and get feedback that will help you understand if customers like it. If they do not, it will help you figure out what needs to change and whether you need to pivot. As one founder put it, good feedback is not good enough. You need customers willing to pull out their credit card to prove the concept before you invest any significant resources into building out your business. Many of the founders we interviewed were creative in taking the MVP concept to the extreme to evaluate interest. For example, Rent the Runway co-founders first tested designer dress rentals by setting up pop-up shops with borrowed dresses on college campuses. As Jenny Fleiss explained, it allowed them to prove the concept before investing in a full e-commerce site and supply chain. Several founders emphasized how important it is to build the simplest front end to start. The front end is the product or what customers perceive to be the product. It has nothing to do with the back end of logistics or complex operations. For example, the founders of Yumbo Kids posted their kids' meal concept on Facebook moms groups. After receiving overwhelmingly positive feedback, they took orders from a few interested customers and then cooked and delivered the meals themselves out of their own home kitchen. As the co-founder Dave Parger explained, this allowed them to prove demand before investing in a commercial kitchen and delivery operation. By focusing on the front end, you can validate customer demand for your startup before overinvesting in technology and operations. The key takeaway is that validating demand can and should be done with minimum investment. You should first focus on the front end without investing in the back end.
Insight number 4. Fundraising doesn't equal success. You should wait to raise money, then wait some more. Always be as capital efficient as you can be. Fundraising is a huge topic in the startup world, and there are many considerations to raising outside funds. The first piece of advice we uncovered in our interviews with the founders is that you should bootstrap in the early stage for as long as possible to prove out the business model before pursuing outside financing. This allows you to gather more data, refine the product, and demonstrate traction so you can raise on better terms later with more credibility. As Anna Auerbach, the founder of Work, told us, don't raise early on an unproven idea, because once you take on investment, the clock starts ticking to spend it. In Anna's case, Work was not yet a proven idea, so they burned through too much capital on experimentation that didn't work. Even if you can raise a lot of money in the early stage, rushing to raise funding too soon can be a mistake. Meanwhile, in growth rounds, after you have traction, be very thoughtful about the amount that you raise in this phase as well. You should strive to raise the right amount, not the most you can, and leave room for error. As one founder cautioned, death by overfunding can lead entrepreneurs to lack discipline in growth and operations. The tendency may be to hire too fast, overinvest in unproven tactics, and push unprofitable revenue growth. The right balance on the amount depends on your specific business model and goals. Raising too much will result in more dilution, but raising too little might lead to continuous raising. By the time of your growth stage financing, your milestones will help you define when and how much to raise. Companies targeting massive scale likely need significant capital for infrastructure and marketing, while others can grow much more efficiently with less. When you boil it all down, the founders we interviewed urged other entrepreneurs to be thoughtful about timing, amount, and terms when fundraising. You should avoid both under and over capitalizing and aim to be capital efficient at all times.
Insight 5. Culture is what people do when you're not around. Hire and fire, not only for skills and IQ, but especially for culture. When talking to the HBS entrepreneurs, we had not anticipated that so many of them would mention culture. They talked about how important culture turned out to be in their journey and how much effort they put into bringing their culture to life. It is typically a topic that is underappreciated, especially early on. The problem with culture is that it's an intangible. It's not like sales or costs. In our research, the underlying consensus was a succinct and simple definition. Culture is what people do when you're not around. At its best, it's the DNA that ensures everybody points in the same direction. The definition is simple and clearly explains why it matters so much, especially when you start growing fast or when you face unexpected and uncontrollable events. You ideally want everybody in your organization to know what to do when you're not around. As Morgan Herman Weich of Adorme said, culture starts with the founders and your own values and actions, which set the tone early on. So it's important as a founder, and especially if you have co-founders, to define your values and make them explicit, ideally in the first few months. Communicating those values clearly from the start helps reinforce the culture you want as you start hiring people. And when it comes to hiring, a big point many founders made is that hiring is your biggest lever to define culture. You have to hire people who not only have the right skills and experience, but who also fit the culture. For example, Antimos Georgiadis of Zumper said, IQ is table stakes. The culture of fit is why they should be hired. You can teach people skills, but not values. As your company grows, you have to communicate and organize around your values so that everybody is on the same page. This includes the onboarding process, performance reviews, but also team gatherings, town hall meetings where people get to ask questions, annual retreats, and of course, posters on the office walls. One founder we interviewed even posted their company values in the bathrooms. However you choose to establish and communicate your company's culture, one universal principle is that you need to start early, typically around 10 to 30 employees. The reason for this is that if you don't, you will end up with a culture no matter what. And you don't want to wake up one day and find out people don't do what you expect them to do. You have to intentionally build the culture by defining it early, hiring for culture fit, communicating values constantly, and organizing events and initiatives around it. Thank you so much for listening to these 5 insights from our book, Smart Startups. Our book has dozens of other timeless pearls of wisdom for entrepreneurs navigating the ups and downs of the startup journey, and we hope you enjoy it.
Thank you, Catalina and James. That was 5 big ideas from Smart Startups, What Every Entrepreneur Needs to Know, advice from 18 Harvard Business School founders by Catalina Daniels and James Sherman. You might also like our book bite for A New Way to Think, Your Guide to Superior Management Effectiveness by Harvard MBA Roger L. Martin. I'm Michael Kavnat. Have a great day.